Okay, today I will confess and believe that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. What's wrong? Oh, okay, all right. I see you holding your head like, oh, my God. All right, so I'm going to go back again. The title of the message is Be Still. Be Still. All right. Let's be still. I want to go to Psalm 46. And when I get through with this message, that's why, you know, like I said, the Lord just, he just so always orchestrates everything. Because when I said these are like gnats in a way for us, folks, because there's nothing that went down today that tomorrow we can't fix. Of course, we could have fixed something today probably if we had called the people out and we'll pay them $300 an hour. But it was like, no, that's not necessary. But, you know, the air conditionings, the computers, all that stuff, you know, we can buy new ones if we had to. You know, God has blessed us in such a way that it's just not an issue. You know, we're not about to whip out the can and say we need the offering for this and that. No, we don't need to do that. So that's why I said it's kind of like these are more like gnats. But I think they happened today on purpose to help us with this message. Because some of you are having these kind of troubles in your own life. You know, you wake up and all of a sudden something is out, something that's important, something that you need thought would be there. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, what is going on? And if we're not careful sometimes, we begin to say things out of our mouth that really are not what ought to be being said. And God allows these things. If we really pay attention to the scriptures, we will begin to see that the devil has orchestrated what I think is a nice crafty lie he's come up with to get people to believe that somehow God is not involved or in charge of this planet. And he always has been. But that somehow, you know, we're holding on, hoping that eventually we'll get to God. But the reality is that until then, the devil gets to beat us up and he's doing all this stuff. When that's really not what's going on. Everything about the scriptures indicate to us that God is always in charge. There's nothing that he's not in charge of. Even when the devil seems to be beating us up, God has given him the limits to which he can whip on us. So with that being the case, it seems that we need to pay more attention to God than to the devil or circumstances or any of this other stuff. And to try to figure out what is it, God, that you're trying to get across. I heard somebody, a very popular preacher, and a lot of members and stuff, and I still don't believe what he said. And he was going on about in Habakkuk where it says, write the vision. And then run, so the person who can read it can run. And he took that scripture and used it to convince all those people that God wants you to write this vision for your life, make it plain so you can run. And you got to run. And you could see them people were so excited. They were jumping up and down and all that. And I said, now, this, when God spoke to this prophet, the prophet was looking at the city of Jerusalem and all of the evil that was going on, and people were not being judged for their wickedness. People were committing adultery. Judges were taking bribes and doing stuff. And he kept saying, Lord, how long will you gonna make me see this wickedness and you're not doing anything about it? This doesn't make sense. He said, this is what I want you to do, Habakkuk. Write the vision that I'm about to give you and make it plain so he that sees it can run. God then told him that he was going to send an evil army against the people to destroy the city, burn it up, kill just about everybody, and scatter them. That's the vision he told him to write. He said, and make it plain so he that sees it can run. Well, God did not intend you to take that to try to figure out how today to go write you a vision for your business so you can run. They're not even connected. And what we got to do is just like what Sister Miranda said this morning, we have got to start dealing with God on God's level and not ours. You know, we got to read his scriptures and say, okay, God, who are you? Not who are we trying to make you, but who are you? And what we're seeing across the planet right now is basically constant trouble, turmoil. Every time you turn around, now they're down, the Cubans down there tan up stuff. South Africa over there, they tan up stuff. Somebody, they shot 4 or 5 people outside some baseball game. And everybody's running crazy trying to figure out what is going on. Well, what I want to emphasize with this message, by the time I get to the end of it, I hope, is that trouble is an opportunity for God to be exalted. Trouble is always an opportunity for God to be exalted. God uses trouble so he can show everybody who's in charge. God uses trouble so that people who have failed to understand who he is and how he is, that he can bring them back around to understanding that, and he gets glory and is exalted by that. Trouble, then, is not something we should run from. Not that we go looking for it, but when it finds us, we confront it with our God and what we know about our God. We magnify our God and not our trouble. So today, let's look at Psalm 46, and we're going to read it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, if you will, go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and then we're going to see if we can go a little bit further into what we're talking about here. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read like 13 through verse 13, beginning at verse 1. If you have it, just say amen. And so everybody on the live stream, you'll need a Bible out there today, praise the Lord, because we don't have our screen to send you a message. Chapter 12, matter of fact, I was reading in some one country, they were gathering the Bibles up and burning them. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Whereby lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray today that the trouble and things that come through our life and to our life help us to recognize and understand that these things for the believer come in a way, Father, that will help us to grow and to be what you desire us to be, partakers of your holiness and your nature. Father, that is your main goal and objective for each of your children, that we might be like you. Father, we pray today that this message would help us in shaping our thoughts to grow even deeper in the word and knowledge of God. Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, I want to start off by saying, if you remember what I said a moment ago for my thesis, that trouble is an opportunity for God to be exalted. As we learn over time and what should happen as we mature in Christ and we become even older individuals, because that usually goes hand in hand, because the longer you live, in spite of people preaching, if you got enough faith, you'll get younger. Nobody's made that happen yet that I've seen. Sounds good and all of that, but God has already told us how this works, and God has made it clear. So instead of us fighting the curve, fighting God, what we do is find God and get in the flow with him so that our lives flow easier than what? More difficult. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as like the wind. And if you've ever ran against a wind and tried to go against the wind, you know how hard it is to do it, and it puts a drag on your life, and it takes more strength to get going. This is why when runners are racing, if they have a wind behind them and they get this break a world record or something, they'll call it wind-aided. In other words, you got a record, but the wind was behind him, so it pushed him faster. And so the same thing with the wind of God. When God gets behind us and we allow him to push us, then we go faster and our life runs much easier. Does that mean we don't have trouble? No, because the Bible teaches us something. Once we learn this lesson, things can get a lot easier, folks, I'm telling you. It's the same lesson that parents try to teach their children. You know, and of all of us have been there probably in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And that is that we all kind of got an idea of what we want to do. We all got a pretty good idea of what we think will make it work. And then we do it and it don't work. And we've had our parents telling us, I wouldn't do it that way. And then we do it and it doesn't work. And eventually, as we get older, we eventually either have our own kids and we start saying to them, look, that don't work. And they do sometimes the same stuff we do. Either they bend faster or they have to go through. And it pains you as a parent for them to have to go through. But there's nothing you can do but watch, because you're not God and you're not in charge. The great thing about God, he said that, you know, we had parents, fathers, who earthly fathers, who basically chastened us for their profit. In other words, every time I spank my kid, sometimes I was just mad that the boy didn't sit down. I told you to sit down. Sit down. Okay, you know what? You don't sit down? I got something for you. And then you end up, bah, 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 bah. Well, you're not really whipping him to make him a better person, even though you say that. Well, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, my dad would tell me. And it never seemed that way to me, you know. But when I got older, I understood his point when I would have to do it sometime with my kids. I didn't like doing it, especially with my younger son, because he was very hard-headed. And there were times that I just would stop hitting him with the little thing, because I said, I'm going to end up breaking his back. If I hit him one more time, any hard not and hit him, and he still turn around and tell me that didn't hurt. I said, okay, all right. Well, let me just put you in a room or something, because I can't hit you anymore, okay? I just can't. But he was resolved. He wasn't going to break, right? God, on the other hand, you know, if that becomes our resolution, right quickly, God has a way of allowing us, and this is what people don't understand, you know, the Bible says, even the wicked I've created for the day of judgment. Not because he created them wicked. That's not what God was saying. God's trying to get everyone to understand, even the people who stay wicked and don't change. God's like, look, I created everything. Everything is mine, and I've given everybody a chance now. If they want to change, they can. But don't get it twisted and confused. Don't get upset. Don't worry about the wicked people. God's like, look, I got this. Now, I know it don't seem like it sometimes to folks, but God is trying to make it clear. There's a reason this is all happening. For some reason, people still believe, I don't know why, that the only reason the earth is still here is because God says, I'm trying to be patient. And so every time he's patient, another year, another baby gets born, right? Another set of kids get born. Other things happen. And God is being patient because God loves people. God wants people to be saved. God wants people to come to him. But God also knows That's not going to happen ultimately. Everybody's not going to believe it. It's not going to happen. But that has nothing to do with his patience and his attempt to do what? Continue to outstretch himself. But for those of us who come to him, God's like, now you got to understand. I can't leave you like that. You know, I mean, I know you might want me to, but I can't leave you like that. First of all, you can't come to me with your dreams and your hopes and your visions to start. I'm because some of them are messed up. Yeah, they're just messed up. They're worldly. You're pursuing the wrong thing. You don't understand that you brought nothing in the world. You can take nothing out. What you're doing is going to end up driving a wedge between you and your family, going to end up ruining your relationship with your children, maybe, or your wife. There are a lot of thought processes that we bring to God that are not right. And so when Sister Miranda was saying that this morning, that's exactly what we talk about when the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God's intention is for us to learn how to obey him. Now, for whatever reason, you know, boy, obedience is a word don't nobody really like unless they want somebody else to obey them. Now, we all like that, so I ain't going to sit here and sit like I wasn't. I was a very rebellious kid, so I know where my youngest son got it, but I wasn't as bad as he is. I mean, my head wasn't as hard as him as a kid, I mean. Now, my dad would hit me, it ain't take but about two, and I was done. My son just, he wouldn't crack. And I was like, okay, well, I know where he got that from. Ain't no sense in acting like you don't know. Yeah, that's just you standing there on steroids, that's all. And so now you getting it, you getting yours back. That's all, you just getting it back. And God is helping you to see something. One, that this is how I was patient with you when you were doing your thing. Now I'm expecting you to be able to exercise some patience to get this thing through and to the finish line. That's why the Bible says, you need to set aside, it didn't say every sin, even though it says sin. It says every weight and the sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Because there ain't nothing you're going to get out of fast. You don't, you just don't. I mean, if you're going to be married 40 years, you ain't going to get out in less than 40. Yeah, if you're going to be married 20 years, you're not going to get out less than 20 years. If you're going to get to that age, you have to live it out. 1 second at a time, 1 day at a time, 1 thing at a time, 1 challenge at a time. But God does not want to leave us where we are. I mean, imagine, you know, if your kid is born and they're doing the same thing they was doing when they was a baby. They 20 now. And apart from just crawling, they walking, but they still babbling, or they still drinking milk out of bottle. Are they still doing these things? You'd be like, something is wrong. They would say, you haven't developed. And so as a Christian, God's like, look, I can't have y'all now saying that, you know, you're a Christian, and at the same time, not developing in your faith. I am not a genie. You know, some think that. Don't rub, throw $5 at me, and I'm going to do something. Or rub, throw a tithe at me, and I'm going to do something. You know, the bottom line is, Stop. I'm God. Now, I'm going to need you to be still. Because, see, a lot of times people are so busy doing stuff and moving all the time because if something happened, they try to figure out how to get out. Always moving. You know? And we got to realize that God says the only way that you're ever going to grow up is that you're going to have to let me chasten you. Now, this And it don't matter if you let me, because my kid never let me whip him. The law gave me permission to whip him. The law even now says you have permission to use certain discipline on your kids. Now, you can't break them up and scar them up and all that. The police will come get you now. But at the same time, the law recognizes the right for you to do parental discipline, right? Well, that's God's right as our parent. And the problem is there's no escape. You know, I don't know. Maybe I've been doing this so long that it just seems to make so much sense to me, especially once you're saved. If you say you're saved, that's why I said that if everybody's been doing the Bible reading, well, where we are now, we've gotten to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, and once we get through 2 Corinthians, you're going to see in there that there's nothing so far that you all have read that should give you the indication that God somehow, you know, bore you into the world so that you could have this great dynamic purpose to go off and do, and that's all he's working on for you. No, you are one of many children who have been born into the kingdom of God, that God, yeah, I know you got a life, but think about this. Think about this. Please think about what I'm about to say. Jesus said, I came down to tell y'all how this is going to go. I'm here to tell y'all the truth about how this goes. People die, and then there's a place afterward that they go. If they die in their sins, they go to a place, Gehenna, a place we call hell. There's a gulf between the righteous that were down in paradise and those who were in this place of torment. And then Jesus, when he died, took those that were in paradise on back to heaven with him. Now those in torment are there. He says, let me make you understand. I know the rabbis and other people have y'all believing that when you're rich and all these things you see that look like the good life means God is with you. But let me tell you something. It is harder for a rich man to get into heaven, okay, than for a camel to get through the eye of that needle over there, which was a doorway almost smaller than the camel. He could get through it, but barely. Jesus said, let me explain it to y'all. God does not do things the way we think he does them. And when you die, you don't get to explain it to God. If your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise get in. He said, let me explain it to you. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to life, and few there be that find it. My question is, are we going to be amongst the few? If I'm a child of God and believe what Jesus said, he says this to me. From the day you are born again, well, let's start with the day you're born. You're born with the wrath of God upon you. Once you finally has come to acknowledge the fact and come to an age of accountability, we might call it, where you can be accountable for your own sins, Satan, who is always on the hunt trying to figure out how to kill people, if he kills you before God can save you, then you're gonna go to hell. Now, to me, that seemed to be more important than anything. Now, when I was growing up and was in church, this is why they said it's important for parents to bring their kids to church and let them hear, you know, cheering church is good. But, you know, if all the cheering doing is playing basketball or playing, they ain't hearing what they need to hear. See, because God has built the human body the way we're designed in such a way, folks, that the things that he doesn't tell us how it works. And I've learned something about God. When he don't tell you how, don't you worry about it. Just do what he say. So God has given us, for some reason, when we read his word, when we pray, when we do these things, we grow and it does something. It's doing something to us that we can't see. All right? No different than when you eat food and it breaks down into the nutrients or whatever and it feeds your body. We don't see the process, but we know it works. Because of this, God says, I need you to listen to me now. If you're not saved at all, it don't matter how rich you become. So imagine that now. It doesn't matter. You got all the money in the world is yours. He says, then they're going to come a day. Everybody has an appointment. You're going to die. And then the judgment. At that point, it's over. Nothing you can do. So all the stuff in the middle that's happening, although that's nice, I got that, is irrelevant. I mean, you got to get this down. I mean, you got to understand this. Just like the man we praying for who might have had a heart attack and ran into the wall and now he brain dead. Well, I hope he didn't want to find Jesus. Because he can't find him now. You see, you can't find him after it's over. When it's too late, it's too late. And I don't know why everybody thinks, well, I'll deal with it when I get older, like they gonna get old. You never know when you're going to be in one of them condominiums over there hanging out thinking you're having a vacation and all of a sudden the thing collapsed. Jesus said, look, he says, do you think that everyone, they had a building that had fallen on some people, and Jesus said, do you think that the building fell on them because they were worse sinners than everybody else? He said, I think not. He said, if you don't repent, worse going to happen to you. I mean, his whole point was that there probably were righteous people that the building fell on. We don't know why that happened. We don't understand why it happened. But when it was over, they gone. We don't know how, when, what, why. But we know about God, and we know that God has something up. God is in charge, and he's trying to get us to understand. This whole thing is about me redeeming this planet back to myself. This is not about creating a religion. This is not like about making a bigger church. What this is about is God saying, this thing is going to end eventually, and I want all y'all to get in. I don't want you to lose. I don't want you to end up in hell. I don't want you to end up over there. But once we get saved, now we're supposed to say, whew, we've escaped the darkness. But now we got to understand, because now we have a holy God who's our Father. He ain't going to leave us alone. The sooner we get this down, the easier our life gets. Because one, we understand we got to come to know who he is. And he going to make us find out. Now, how do we know this? See, like Sister Miranda said, so instead of me making up stuff, you know, since me making up, we just read what the Bible said. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, where we read, we saw God telling us to lay aside every weight and sin. So there's some people who have weights in their life that's not even sin, but you need to let it go. The only way you're going to be able to run this race is some stuff you got to let it go. You're not going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish if you keep holding on to some of these things he's saying. They're weights. They're weighing you down. I ain't just talking about sin. I'm talking about that thing or this thing. It's slowing you down. You got to let it go. But God's like, don't worry about it. I got a way to shake it loose. Because the Bible, as you read further, you see how it goes down saying, you haven't resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And then it goes on and it says, and ye have forgotten. Now, what this is trying to do is to get you to understand. When trouble hits, you done forgot where the trouble coming from. Trouble comes because God allows trouble. God has specifically designated trouble for you today to get you where he wants you to be. See, everybody who has, let me see if I can come up with something that's easy. Let me try to catch it all like this. When you have trouble with a particular thing or area, whatever it is in your life, you have to learn how to avoid that area and that thing. The only way you can learn to avoid that thing is that thing must come to you again, that you might learn to avoid it. There comes a moment where if part of the spirit is learning how to have discernment and also learning how to what? Manage yourself. Yeah, you need to be self-controlled. The Bible says that that's what the spirit, he gives you self-control. Then God is going to constantly have things troubling you that deal with your problem of self-control. Because God's like, look, I don't have no cheering that ain't self-control. You say, well, I know a lot of them. I bet they catching hell too. I'm telling you, go see if the people you know who don't have self-control, in other words, they can't control themselves, whatever, in whatever area, watch and see if they're not challenged in those areas on an ongoing basis. People are like, why does trouble keep coming? Why does this keep happening? Because God is challenging you to make sure that you have pressed to the place you need to be now. There was a time when I would not have been able to preach a message with that air conditioner broke and them TVs out. Because I'd have been sitting here the whole time thinking about it. You know, it's like, oh, God, I hope this, and oh, Monday, I got to call that one. Nuh-uh. The Bible says, preach the word. And God got me to a place where I began to realize something. You know, you got to understand, back in the day, everybody want to be an apostle, want to talk about Paul. Them people ain't had no air conditioning. Them people ain't had microphones, live stream, YouTube, or nothing else. We done got so caught up in the world today as it is. That's why when this corona thing hit, people ain't know what to do. Oh, Lord, I've been in the house for a year. I'm going to lose my mind. Do you know that there were people, and especially amongst our folks, I still remember in 1970 going to my grandpa's house and still had to go to the outhouse. Now, we had a bathroom where I lived, my dad by that time, but when we went to grandpa's house, you had to go outside. You ain't never want to go at night. And you also didn't want to use that pen. It was just strange. It seemed strange. You know, it's a pen. I don't want to do that. And I was raised in a house with a toilet, so now it was becoming very difficult to go to Grandpa's house. And they went, you need to go see your grandpa. I know, but I can't hold it that long, Daddy. I won't be down there. I don't want to go down there. And then the problem is when you got to go at night. But folks, everybody ain't always had a toilet that flush. We ain't always had it nice and easy and life. You could just go and microwave this and do that. And that's part of the problem. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read something to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says this. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, it's kind of like as I was thinking about this message and thinking about my grandma and them and my great-grandmother that I could remember to the extent I could. And that's why I joked around this morning about the fans. I mean, man, folks, that was it. That's all we had was a fan. I mean, back in them church in Independence, they had no air conditioning. It was like, oh, you might have some windows. But you over, the air ain't moving. But they went to church. And they did what they had to do. You see, God has changed in the minds of people, but God hasn't changed. And the Bible says, for sure, be still. As I thought about them, I said, see, just like this being mixed with faith. Some people, and this ain't no indictment, I ain't trying to be ugly. I'm just saying out loud, and this is not intended for anybody. People can't even cook no more. You know, the people who used to know how to cook, when my great-grandma, when they cooked, folks, we ain't no real food. We don't eat real food for the most part. These people cook. They went out and got it out the garden, brought it in, cut that bell pepper up or cut whatever them greens was fresh. That cornbread was real. All that jiffy and all that we doing, all that stuff we doing, we ain't mixing this the way it need to be done. And God is the same thing with faith. He said these people got the gospel just like we got it, except it wasn't mixed with faith. You see, we getting word. We hearing about God. But if it don't get mixed with some faith, it don't never turn to nothing usable. You see, concrete even, you can buy it in a bag, and the bag is very heavy. But it ain't never going to hold nothing until you put some water in it and mix it up. You got to do it right. And it's the same thing about the Word of God, and God knows that. God's like, look, I'm a God of faith. And the only way things work is faith. When stuff get tough, you need faith. When everything break loose, you need faith. Not because I'm not here, but because when I break it loose, I need you to be able to stand. You got to understand what's going to happen, y'all. Hopefully we won't be here. But God said there's going to come a moment, and this is why. Let's go back to Psalm 46. Lord, help us, Jesus. Look at Psalm 46. He says, let me see if I can get on back over there again. Psalm 46. Now listen to this. God is our refuge. Y'all say that. Say, God is my refuge. God is my strength. Now, he says he's a very present help in time of trouble. All right, so he's my strength. He's my refuge in a time of trouble. Very present help. He's now God. He's present. Faith, faith, faith. I look at everything going on. I ain't looking at that. I'm looking at God. And they say, well, it don't matter. Yeah, well, look what it says. Therefore will not we fear. We're not afraid. Why? Because God is our strength and our refuge. He's a present help in time of trouble. We hear the word, but you ain't never going to experience this if you don't mix it with some faith. And faith can't work unless you got something to work it with. So here come trouble. And the first thing people do when trouble comes is start saying, God ain't with us. Oh, Lord, why you leaving me? That's why it says in Hebrews, straighten up your legs and pick it up. Because you done forgot something. It's your God that's troubling your waters. You're like, oh, God, oh, Lord, the devil, man, forget the devil. You better focus on God, because God's like, look, you're my child. And I'm trying to get you to understand something. This thing could end at any moment. And I want you in the right prime position. But if it don't end at any moment, I need you to stand. See, when all hell's breaking loose around us, we need to be the ones who can stand, because we know what's going on. The world's getting shaken because God is moving again. When God get upset, all things just start shaking. Stuff start falling all apart. The Cubans over here. These people burning up everything. This happening over here. The world look like it's falling apart. You can't go to church. You can't get out. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't do nothing. Oh, Lord, where is he? On the throne, shaking, 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 and trying to see who can stand. Not because I got to test you to stand, but because you're going to have to, because guess what? It's on right now. You know, when things start happening, we got to realize there ain't always times of peace and still, but you got to be still. See, sometimes you can't do nothing. You got to realize there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to get out of the trouble that's happening, nothing you can do to change it. Like now, there's nothing we can do about coronavirus and this virus and that virus. Ain't nothing we can do, but we got to stand. We're still here. We got to be here. We got to deal with it. But we also got to know God is in charge. But we got to know this in a way, because when once we know it, when things start happening, we back up and say, okay, God, what's wrong with my life? Why this trouble? What's wrong with my life? He might say nothing. You made it. You made it. It came your way. You made it. And you move on. But it also might be that you ain't made it yet. You know, think about this. People will say this. When people get, they say people who get married and get divorced, typically when they get divorced again, they end up married sometimes 7-8 times. Obviously, they ain't got a problem with marriage. They keep doing it. And what's the problem? Well, whatever the problem is, it keeps happening. See, it's still happening. I got to ask myself the question, well, God, wait a minute now, why does it appear to be? See, because we'll say that, hey, this is the same thing, this is the same thing. Why is it the same thing in a different place? Because the only thing the same is you. You know what I'm saying? We look, oh, this job, I hate this job. That's why people that go from job to job to job, every job they get on, eventually, the same thing wrong with their boss. They can't work nowhere long enough to secure a future for themselves. Why? Why is God letting it happen? Because God's trying to let me see. He's like, look, there's something going on with you. And you're supposed to stop and say, okay, look, let me just be still. Because the devil don't run nothing. And surely if the devil don't run nothing, your boss ain't running nothing like that. They just work there. And I know they're in charge in that sense. But the Bible says plainly God raises one up and pulls another one down. Now, if we believe that, then we understand. Just like Jesus told Pilate, sir, the only way you have power over me is because God gave it to you. So, sir, the only reason you, Mr. Supervisor, have authority over me is because God let you have it. And he might say, no, that's because you work here. I say, yes, because God let me have a job here. And so now, but I got to realize that what? I am there, and I got to now make a decision, because God did tell me to obey the authority. And God might be trying to get me to understand that's your problem. You don't want to obey no authority. Yeah, I let you have that job, so you can go be up under that authority. Then all of a sudden you get authority you can't stand. It ain't never, let me just say this to you. When you got a problem with authority, you always get authority you can't stand, and you can't stand it. Now there's a difference between getting authority you can't stand and you can stand it. Because, you know, you end up places that it had nothing to do with you. It's not about you. It's like the flood. Like the flood hit everybody's house. But Jesus said the houses that stand will be the ones built on a rock. So when it rains in Baton Rouge, we all getting rained on now. So we don't want to say, oh, God don't like us because it's raining. No, we all getting rained on. The question is, how is it affecting you? See, the Spirit of God says that what? The Bible says that the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if I have the Spirit of God, there's going to be something that I'm not kicking on the cylinders. But it shouldn't be every cylinder. You don't got no love. I ain't got no joy. I ain't got no peace. I ain't got no patience. You ain't got nothing. But I got God. Absolutely no evidence that I have God other than what I'm saying. And God's like, look, I got to get you straight. You may have me, but you see, but you ain't got me like you need to have me. So let me get it to you. I'm going to have to bring you a little trouble. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 46. Look what's going on with God. He says, therefore, we will not fear. Now, think about this now. We said God was our refuge and our strength. So we're saying we're not going to be afraid even if the earth get removed. Even if the mountains go into the sea. See, that's why when people talk about, oh, Lord, are you afraid of nuclear war? No. I wouldn't care if Kim Jong, whatever his name is, he can hit the button, Iran's. I don't care. Because God is in charge. My life is not wrapped around, oh, Lord, I got to live here 30 more years so I can have this and have that and be this and be that and get my own company and all. I ain't in all of that. I am occupying until Jesus comes. And if he doesn't come before I die, I'll die and go meet him. But the point is, I'm not occupying like I'm here to stay. Some people are buying houses here. Y'all understand what I'm saying in a minute? I'm in the hotel. Now, it's a very nice hotel. I try to get a nice hotel if I can stay in one. But I'm in the hotel. When I go on a trip, I don't move going to the Hyatt and bring all my stuff from my house and move it in like I'm finna stay there. I already know this is a temporary place. Sister Lori, when we go now, she bring all the stuff she do bring. She'll have a suitcase. There ain't nothing in it but stuff to clean. You think we was the maids again. We break out and start spraying everything, wipe everything, clean everything again, do all that. Now we bring out our own sheets, everything, and we move in for a week. We ain't there to stay. And some people are living here like they're here to stay. They invest in all their time, all their effort, all their energy into things that are going to terminate. Like I said, when I was in law school, we read more books than I know what I could say to get a degree. How dare I not read this book? How can I say I've never read this book, but I haven't been to college? People who done been to college and graduated, I know you done read at least this much book. Why you don't think God would be like, you know, look, we need to have a conversation, you and I. I'm going to need to bring you up to speed on some stuff. The Bible says that it's the word that protects us in time of trouble. Like Sister Miranda said, all of a sudden something happened, the word be right there. I don't know why or how that works, but it does. I don't know, like I said, how eating food makes you grow. I don't know how it breaks down and all that and the science of how it works, and they say they know. But likewise, we don't know how it works with the word. But we know the word works, that if you keep reading it, keep looking at it, keep dealing with it, it goes in your heart and changes you. And we don't know how it works, but we know it works. You can't just walk around saying you know God, but you never spend your time letting God get inside of you. Because if you don't, when the trouble comes, you ain't going to be able to stand. You can talk about God all you want. But when the time comes, it's hard when you see the mountain going in the sea. Look at what just happened now. We just got a little virus running around. People can't go nowhere. They talking about to lose their mind. I got to go somewhere. Why? Why do you have to go somewhere? Because that's how you've trained yourself. You entertain yourself by always going, always doing, always in front of TV set, and Lord Jesus, let the electric go out. People gonna lose their mind when they lose them phones and them TV sets. I just pray whenever the electric go out, it ain't long for y'all, that's all. You know, because I'm telling you, the way they talking now, they say, you know, you could have a failure to the electric grid or something. We could be without electricity for 6 or 7 months. We better go find some holes to dig ourselves in, because the people that don't know God, they sure going to lose their mind. And then God people going to be right behind them. And you sure ain't going to be getting church on live stream. Ain't going to be no electric. And won't be no air. And won't be no lights. But it should be church. Now, we may not be in this building, but let's go out back. Let's do something. Pastor crazy. Ain't he heard? The mountains done fell in the sea. I don't have no electric. What do you expect me to do? I expect you to get up and do what you just said. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And even though things fall in the sea and everything goes to hell, it don't matter because we are already settled with God. We got the victory. We got the power. When people look at us and say, look, nobody want to hear what you got to say because what you're saying is going to go away. The only thing that will prevail is the word of God, and that's what it says. That's why I said last week, you go down to the legislature with all that foolishness. Between marijuana and sex workers and gambling, and everybody won't sit there and act like, you know, they all dressed up and all suited, but the point is, that's craziness. And you wonder why you can't get no taxes. And then you get them, then the children can't even go to school. Because of whatever done happened. Oh, we got to do something to fix it. You can't fix it. God can fix it, but we got to get to God. See, and if we never get to God, God going to keep the pressure on. That's what people don't understand. It's kind of like a cook. Y'all, look now, I'm telling y'all, I used to watch my grandma do this when she was making a cake. And see, my mama used to, in each generation, it got less and less. Came a point where my mama would do it different. She had that little battering things. Y'all know what I'm talking about, the ones you want to lick. Give me that. You move it around. She had a spoon. And you she held it on her hip like this. And she went like this. And just whip it. And you had to whip it until it was the right consistency. You know that one thing. If her electric went out, it ain't matter. She just need a spoon. Just give me a spoon. All I need is a spoon. And find me something to put it in. And I can do it. Look, I can't find the parts. Have you seen my mixing bowl? Yeah, it's got the right little clip to clip it on, and you do your thing and mix it and all. And well, at least them people trying to cook. And there's some they like, what? Little Debbie's. Just get me some Little Debbie's. That's all we need. I don't need no cake. That's too much work for that, they say. And God's like, I'm going to need you to get you some homemade faith. I'm going to need you to get some homemade cooking. And the trouble gets mixed with faith. You see, the trouble comes, and instead of you saying, I don't know what's going to happen, you say, God is my strength. God is my refuge. And it don't matter, even if the mountains go in the sea, we win. And people say, well, it don't look like you're winning. Look, I don't care what it look like, because God ain't never told me to look at myself. God told me to look at him. I got the victory. What do you think Jesus looked like on that cross? Does that look like a win? No, they all standing there saying crazy stuff and accusing him of stuff, not realizing that once he died and rose from the dead, the Bible says Jesus, look, y'all, Jesus is now on the right hand of God. The Bible says in the light that no man can approach, having immortality only in himself. Jesus is the only one who has been a man and God, and now he's sitting in the presence of God, the only one who can do that. He's alive and reigning now. He might have looked like it was a defeat, but he won. Sometimes you ain't going to look like you're winning, but you got to know you done won already. You got to get this word down in your spirit. Look at what it says in verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Then he says, Selah, think about that. Peace. He says, just think on it. Look all across America. Everywhere you look, everybody trying to run. Now they got a hurricane going toward California. You go up the other day, they were talking about flood. Look, New York, they got flood water running all through the subway. Yeah. Them people standing up there going, oh, my God. Yeah. I thought living in the South was the problem. Now they all the way up in the North. And it looked like a flood that went through that looked like the same one that came through Houston and Baton Rouge and everywhere else. Because ain't nowhere to hide. If he's talking about it's climate change. No, it's God on the move. climate change. I keep telling people, look, well, it's colder than it's been in the last, they're going to say a year. Well, right. Well, what about that year? It's colder than it was in 1802. Right, but in 1802, it was that cold. So if it was that cold, then it means it's been that cold before. So that ain't nothing new. God says that no temptation will come to you than such is common to man. God ain't about to give us no new trouble that ain't been seen. It's new because of us. Man, some of our parents and grandparents and stuff, today, this little stuff, it ain't nothing for them. They be like, oh, man, they be loving it. You mean y'all got one air conditioner? Y'all got one TV in your house? Man came to my house the other day. He said, y'all got a lot of bathrooms in here. I said, well, yeah, you know, when I was growing up, my grandpa had an outhouse, so I ain't never going out the house. And he laughed, you know, and I said, yeah, he said, yeah, I got a bathroom connected to this bedroom, a bathroom connected to that bedroom, a bathroom in our bedroom. We got bathrooms everywhere. Lord, what happens if the toilet go out? See, you can end up getting yourself so accustomed to living a certain way that when it's over, you don't really realize that you don't understand what's really going on. And then when trouble comes, we're not prepared or ready to do what needs to be done. But the key I'm trying to get you to understand is that trouble is coming many times because God is trying to do something with us. See, when you read this, you realize in verse 6, this is what it says. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. In other words, all of the heathens out there mad, raging, hating. They hate God. They setting churches on fire. All kind of crazy stuff. And don't realize a church is a building. You could burn this building to the ground. You ain't going to burn God nowhere. God is up in heaven. And you know, you raging, man. The heathen is raging. They some upset, they mad, they won't burn the Bible. The Bible is nothing but a book. And I don't mean that in a negative way. This ain't God. We got God. If he is, we got him on our computers and everywhere. Now God everywhere. It's not God. So if you burn this, you raging the heathen. Why are you so angry? What is it that makes you so angry with it? Because it tells you the truth. Tells you can't do this and you can't do that. Well, that's your truth. No, that's God's truth, and that's why you rage against it. There are a lot of other books out there that say all kind of crazy stuff. They ain't burning them. Why this one? Why you got to burn this one? Why that name Jesus make you jump out your skin when somebody say it? Why do even Christians sometimes feel embarrassed to say it? I'm telling you, you can go to a football game and hear people hollering all the time, holler, holler, holler like they're crazy, hollering all the time. You want to clear out something, just say, woo, Jesus, Jesus, Lord Jesus, that was so good. Did you see what Jesus just did with that? Ooh, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They're going to be going like that. Why? Because there's something about the name. And it ain't just holy rolling, no. It's a name that shakes up the atmosphere. It shakes up demons. It shakes up things, and they know that. And God's like, look, I don't need you to be ashamed. I ain't telling you to go out and stand in the middle of McDonald's and start hollering. I ain't telling you that. What I'm telling you is, though, that if you're in the middle of something and all of a sudden you decide to just say, praise the Lord, you ought to be able to say that. And not be concerned that somehow, oh, the people next to me, they're going to think I'm a holy roller. Well, let them think what they want. What you want is God. Yeah, what we want is God. We want to be in a position where we know God is our refuge. God is our strength. When trouble comes, we are capable and more than able to do what needs to be done. Father, we know we can do it. But what does he do? See, this will help you now. I'm telling you. If you got something going on in your life that you don't like, whether it's with yourself or whatever the case might be, I would challenge you to ask God, take your time and ask God and just be serious with him and say, God, what is it in me that you're trying to get me to see? Now, it might be a good thing. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe whatever you're going through, you know, you're going through it because you have to go through it. You're the parent. And let's say your child is just a certain way and you're trying to be patient, 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 and you're always exercising patience and your child won't respect you and they don't this and that, but you're patient with them and you're patient and you're loving and you're everything the Bible says you're supposed to be. Okay? well, then maybe it ain't about you. You see, it may be about you being the one person that can be God in their life at the moment. Because God is in heaven and you're here. So now, if you're doing what the scriptures say, then guess what? You just keep doing it. Because if you're praying and you ask him, he'll show you. Now, I'm telling you, if it's a, but it might be, like in one place, the Bible says, don't provoke your cheer into anger. I used to be good at that. Well, I'm serious, boy. I was good at that one. I mean, so, you know, my son might say something. I'm, oh, Lord, ho, ho, wait, ho, ho. I know you ain't just, you know, I'm about to try to make him understand. I'm the man here, right? Well, when I prayed about it, God had to help me understand. Well, this is about you and him. He do need to do to him, but you need to put your fist back in your pocket, boy. Because I was quick to pull him out. Now, I ain't lying, boy. Look, I'll knock you down quick. Boom! Well, that wasn't God. Even though I had a right under scripture to discipline, it wasn't the way God would have wanted me to do that. So when I have to pray, God, why am I getting this? He opens up something for me to see. Take yourself, whatever it is going on. And if you don't like it and you want to change it, you can guarantee, I can guarantee you, God is behind it. See, don't let the devil trick you. See, the devil wants to be, he kind of like on the streets. You know, on the streets, because that's where they get it from. They get it from the devil. On the streets, everybody wants to try to pretend to be the big one in charge. Everything goes the way I say it. This is my corner. So what they usually try to do are crazy things like, you know, kill somebody right quick or something to send a message to everybody. But they don't want to kill everybody. They're just trying to send a message. I'm the one in charge. Well, that's how the devil tries to do. He tries to pretend to be the one in charge. And if he can get that in your mind, then instead of you doing what? Resisting him when you need to and dealing with God, you end up resisting God. And you never learn the lesson. Yeah, I mean, you gotta say to yourself, okay, all right, now why do we know this is so? Because in Hebrews chapter 12, God combines the trouble with chastisement. He says, you have not resisted unto blood striving against sin. Okay? But and then he says, you have forgotten the exhortation. God deals with you as children. So when you get saved, God's intention is to do what? To make you like him. Now, y'all, if y'all hear me, heaven is not. The Bible teaches us, and we don't have time to go there now, we can find, read it, that Christ will rule on the earth for 1,000 years. Okay? Now, none of us have been here no 1,000 years. Most of us ain't been here 100 years. The Bible says that Jesus is going to literally reign on the earth for 1,000 years as the king of Israel in Jerusalem. We're not just going to heaven first. The Bible is those that are in heaven. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. Those that are asleep, the Lord will bring with him when he comes. He said that in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise, and we that are alive will be caught up to be with the Lord. Now, there's a bunch of debate about, oh, do we go to heaven, and they got a tribulation for 7 years and all that. I don't care about none of that. All I'm telling you is the Lord will reign on the earth with his saints. Now do you think God going to let you go in there thinking crazy, acting crazy, and you ain't never got yourself together? No. God's like, look, I want you to reign. Everybody want to be in charge. Ain't got no problem with that. God don't even have a problem with it. He keeps saying we're going to be kings and priests. I'm going to let you rule with me and all. But you get to rule. Think about what happened with his disciples. Each of his disciples died a martyr's death, except for John, they say, who died naturally on the Isle of Patmos. Now, the Bible says that the city of God has the names of the apostles in the actual foundation. These men will live again. Jesus will reign here. And you too, folks. Your mama, your dad, whoever died that you know and died in Christ will rise again, and we're going to literally be made immortals. Do y'all believe that? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're going to be made an immortal. You will be living for at least the 1,000-year reign with Christ, and you'll be in charge of something. So do you understand? God ain't interested in your earthly resume. Well, Lord, I'd like to run New Roads and Baton Rouge. Here's my resume. I worked at the law school for so many years. And God's like, boy, take that. Tell me about that problem you got with your patience. You see, because that's how I was. I already knew what patience was for me because I could never go to McDonald's and just get through the line. Well, I couldn't. Everybody else in there drive through, and as soon as I get in the line, something break. Something wrong. Sir, can you pull up? Ma'am, I just ordered a cheeseburger. Just keep the thing. And I gone about my business. No patience. Just no patience. You think you got a shot. You look at, oh, they but two cars. And look up by the time I get around the building, fired and pulled out from Prescott. Everywhere you go, the line too long. Always that way. Everywhere I went. Didn't matter how much I prayed, it didn't matter. When I got to Walmart, when I get to the machine, it broke. When I get to Home Depot, the thing won't die. Customer needs assistance. No, I don't. I need a machine that works right. Lord, like, no, you ain't working right. I'm going to need you. You figure, Lord, what's wrong with me? You don't have no patience. I finally got it. I was like, okay, Lord, I got it. You know what? I got it. I refuse now to keep fighting it. Fighting the fact that McDonald's ain't right, Home Depot ain't right, and Walmart machines always broke. People need to fix stuff if they just do what they need to do. No, sir, you need to realize this is the real world, and patience is necessary. Not just because you may have to wait for something, but because things, the faith, the promises of God, you get through faith and patience, not just faith. So you need patience. That's the only reason I'm doing this to you, son. I know it bothers you. I know you really hate going to McDonald's and standing in that long line, but I'm going to need you to stand there. I know you hate going to Home Depot, and every time, no matter which one of the machines you pick, it look like it's looking for you. And it says, customer assistance needed. No, it's not. That man just left here. He just used it. Well, now I don't cast the devil out the machine no more, and I don't try to get the devil out of my mind. I try to say, okay, Lord, let me be patient here, and I'm going to let this young lady come over and assist me, and I'm going to be kind to her. And I used to not be mean. I just wasn't as kind as I probably could have been because I was just trying to hold my peace and not tear the machine up. Now, I know y'all look at me and say, Pastor, you don't look like you could do that. I mean, it wasn't aware. I just couldn't take it. I was like, duh, the man just left. Well, I got to be, look, I am in a hurry right now. I got to get to the church. Pastor. You see, so you may not have that problem. It's something. All of us come to God, and we all got something that God's like, look, you know, I'm you're going to be immortal one day, and I can't have you immortally like that. We're going to need to change that. And he's like, you know, and I ain't mad. I'm your daddy. I want to help you. I wouldn't have saved you if I wanted to kill you. I'd have just sent you to hell. I saved you. Now I'm trying to fix you. That's all, trying to fix you. See, the Bible says there's no temptation that's common to man that God is not able to help you with. Now, let me tell y'all like me. I tell people all the time, if somebody you meet, and let's say they're addicted to something like drugs or something like that, help them, pray for them, and understand that they got the will to get through it. They can get the power of God. If they believe God, the power of God, they can get through it. Believe it. Just know it. Why? Because God says, I'm not going to allow you to be tempted above what you're able. But with the temptation, I'll make a way of escape. Sometimes it's hard to get through that door, but they can get through it. That's why let me tell y'all something. That's why I never use drugs. Really, I've never used drugs because God knows I'd never come out. I'd be so doped up. I'm just trying to be real with y'all now. Look, because this is how, I don't know what's wrong with me. But there's something about my discipline that also works in reverse. So if I drink one Diet Coke, two is better, three is better, and five is great.
If I eat one hot dog from Racetrack, two is better. Three even more, along with five Cokes. And it looked like every day then, I start needing a Coke. I got to go get a Diet Coke. Got to go get a Diet Coke. Got to go get a Diet Coke. Might as well get a hot dog too. So that God already knew. Do not let that boy get nowhere near no dope. Because he ain't never coming out. He going to get a reefer today. One reefer might well have two. Well, with them two might well have four. And four might well make a cigar out of it. More is always better. And I don't know why, but my discipline is that way. When I read, oh, yeah, I'm in there. One chapter, two chapter, three chapter, four. Why not? Look, I work out 1 mile, two, might well go 10. Yeah, it's great when you're doing something positive. That trait is good. But you need to understand, you got to know what it is that you can't do. But don't worry, son. I ain't going to let you get nothing near, nothing going to destroy you because I already know how you are. God's not going to see. So I'm saying to you, I ain't never smoked dope, not because I was not a dope smoker, because God just ain't letting me get tempted like that. Because God already said, I know what you can handle. So you got to understand something. Whatever you got going on in your life, it don't matter what it is, you can handle it. You can get out of it. Somebody say, I'm an alcoholic. I've been all my life. No, yeah, but you can get out of it. You can get out of it. Yeah. See, I've never been tempted to drink anything more than a wine if I drunk it. Why? Because God already knows. Don't let that boy get a hold of none of that hard liquor. Oh, my God, that boy gonna drink himself to death. Yeah, and the reason he can't even mess with some of that other stuff because my little liver will be down there going, oh, gum, gum, gum. We can't get all this out of here. It's different to drink four Cokes and then drink five bottles of Zinfandel. See how it go for you. That don't work right. You got to understand, though, whatever's going on in your life, be prayerful. God, why is this coming back in my life? What is it about me that you're trying to show me? See, and forget the devil, man. Put him over on the sideline for a minute. We understand he's the God of this world, but you're in Jesus' kingdom. And now God has said, you are my child. Now, I trouble that comes to you, look at it as from me. Don't be upset. Think of it as chastening. This is the last thing I'm going to show you before we go, before I close. Just to show you what I'm talking about, and I know I'm telling you what I know I'm telling you. When we do communion, we've done this before, but this is what the scriptures say. We're going to tie this back in again. God says that when we judge ourselves, in other words, if we have a problem, whatever's going on with us, he tells us in 1 Corinthians, if we examine ourselves, he says, and judge ourselves, God says, I don't have to judge you. See, so in other words, if I go to the store today, let's say I go to the store today, and the machine acts up, and I just break out, holler, and scream, and do something crazy. God expects me to judge me about that. God expects me to go to him and say, Father, I was wrong, I've sinned, and if I did something to somebody, I need to apologize to them too. See, so I got to tell the lady if I hollered, or even if I was just mean and ugly, I got to say to her, ma'am, I'm sorry about that. You know, God's working on me, and I'm working on myself. Please forgive me. I apologize for that. I should not have done that. I acknowledge it to that person, get them, and have them. Now, whether she forgives me or not, doesn't matter. I'm done. And now, I'm straight with God. But God says, if you won't do that, you got to understand something. I'm going to deal with you. And think about it. Children of God, where are we going to go? We ain't got nowhere to go. What, we going to go back to the world? Go back to the devil? No, it would be easier to say, I'm sorry, God. And he's going to say, look, I know you're sorry, and I appreciate you telling me you're sorry. Now I need to turn around and tell your wife that. Or I need to tell your friend that. Or tell your child that. Or tell whoever. I don't need to hear you sorry. I know you're sorry, because I can see straight into your heart. I got that. But you need to grow up. You're going to have to change. And that's what he does. But he says this. If we won't judge ourselves, he says this. Look, he says this in verse 1 Corinthians 11. This is what it says in verse 30. For this cause, many are weak, sick, and many die. So the Bible tells us that our weaknesses, our sicknesses, and early deaths can be brought about by the failure of us as God's children to respond to his discipline. And that our failure to recognize our own problems leads him to discipline us through these mechanisms. So if I find myself constantly sick, constantly not able to deal with situations and circumstances, God's saying, this is a way I allow the enemy, and through him doing these things, I bring about my chastisement on you. And all I'm asking you to do is to turn and say, okay, all right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Show me what I need to do, Lord, so that what? So that when it's over, I can have your blessing on my life and that I can be where you want me to be. Because God's not trying to hurt us, because the next verse says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So God seems to indicate that he will cut people's life short so that they don't end up lost. Talk about how much God loves us, but why not just let's do it right? What does it require for us to be still? See, sometimes we just got to be still. And God said, look, be still. I know it ain't working like you want, but I need you to be still and know that I am God. Let me handle it. Let me get in it. And whatever's going on with your life, I just need you to be still. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to this. Be still and do what the word tells you, because God is our strength. And in any trouble, it's an opportunity for God to get himself exalted. Because when it's over, everybody going to know God was the one that spoke. And God was the one who rescued us from our trouble. Every head bowed. And we're going